T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And now, Chuck and Winkler, two townies talking Wisconsin sports, covering nothing but your favorite teams. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, this is Chuck and Winkler on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. That's Chuck Freeman on Twitter at Chuck Freeman. I'm Bart Winkler on Twitter at Winks Things. You can follow us Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, all at 105.7 FM, The Fan, on all those different platforms. Say that, and you can get us on your Alexa and all those sort of devices as well. We've been talking with Adam McKelvey the last few weeks on Mondays. I chatted with him briefly over the weekend, and he said, hey, rather than Monday, I'll be traveling, so can we do opening day instead? And I thought, well, yeah, but we want to talk to you this week, Thursday, opening day this week, Thursday. And I was, oh, yeah, that's right. Opening day is this week. Opening day is this week.
Yeah, but how dumb is it? You know, the Brewers got to do so much travel during the regular season. They've been in spring training down in Arizona. They got to go to 2 games in Montreal, Monday and Tuesday, for 2 exhibition games against the Blue Jays, and then come home and play Thursday. I mean, ridiculous that they got to play 2 games in Montreal. That's
well,
so stupid.
Teams usually do this. I mean, you get back from spring training, right? And then the Brewers have hosted teams like this before, but it's been like the White Sox, where it's relatively short travel.
Yeah.
I don't know why the Brewers got picked for this.
Jeez. I mean, they couldn't pick an East Coast team for that?
I'm not sure. Maybe there's a big Brewer fandom in Montreal that we're not aware of.
You know, baseball, when they have these games, they draw pretty well.
Oh, they'll draw well tonight in Montreal. Baseball Montreal.
Yeah, they draw well for these games.
I haven't had that in years.
It's just I don't want the Brewers to be a part of it. I mean, the Brewers, just play some games down, play 2 more games, play some split squad games or whatever, but having to go up to Montreal and play a couple of games against the Blue Jays before the start of the season, that's just dumb.
So we've already offended Mexico today. Now you want to offend our neighbors to the north
Canada, I mean, that's a useless. What is Canada good for anyway? I mean, really. We're going to war. The United States is going to war. What is Canada going to provide?
Refuge for those of us that bolt?
Yeah, that's it, unfortunately.
Maple syrup?
Yeah.
Tim Hortons?
Oh, is that from Canada? I thought that was like from Ohio.
I think Tim Hortons is more...
Is that Canada?
I think it... No, it was founded by... We talked about this. It was founded by a guy that used to play for the Sabres.
Okay, but really, what good is Canada?
But it's big in Canada.
I mean, there's nothing... There's no redeeming value of Canada.
It's fishing. Great fishing.
Fishing and hunting.
Hunting?
Yeah.
It's a multi-languaged country. It's very...
It's all woods. It's like being up north.
I wish the Grizzlies were still in Vancouver.
Yeah, the NBA said, hey, we're going to have a team in Vancouver, then nobody wanted to play there.
Well, big country.
Bryant Reeves. Even he didn't want to play there.
Yeah, and then they moved. Hey, I don't think he ever played in Memphis, though, did he?
You know where big country made his bones, man? He played against Marquette in the NCAA tournament in 93 and destroyed Marquette.
What about all these Canadians in basketball? RJ Barrett, Wiggins, do you count Thon Maker?
No, I look at him as Australian.
Half of the good wrestlers are from Canada.
Chris Jericho. Yeah, the Hearts.
Yeah, the Hearts.
The Hearts.
Edge.
Chris Jericho.
You just made the list.
Jericho.
I think the British Bulldogs were living up there for a while with the Hearts.
Okay.
I don't even know what other wrestlers from Canada. That's about it, isn't it?
I'd slow your roll before you start trashing on Canada.
Oh, Canada. God. I had no use. Canada, I mean... No one's going to ever invade Canada. Why don't we just take over Canada? We should just take over Canada.
So you want to go to war for land?
We don't have to go to war. What are they going to do?
Like it's 1850?
The Mounties going to stop us? No. Just take over Canada.
Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, they're from Canada.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is Kevin Owens still wrestling?
He's back, yeah.
Okay.
He took Kofi's spot, and then Kofi got screwed again.
Never has a guy so out of shape as that guy been so good. I've never seen an out of shape wrestler be so good like he was.
Yeah, he's good.
Taking bumps and jumping off the top rope, and it's like, man, how is this guy doing it? Not
what about the Toronto Raptors? They're from Canada.
Yeah. No. Okay.
Drake? What about Drake?
Toronto's a nice city.
Okay, well, there you go. There's a
star. Toronto's a nice city. I was there for WrestleMania.
Well, look at that.
Back in 1990.
Look at that. Look at you.
But that's it. I mean, Canada. But everything was closed. I mean, I remember the day of the WrestleMania.
They probably shut down for WrestleMania.
No, they. Why would restaurants be shutting down?
Because the workers wanted to go.
Yeah, but it was in the morning. WrestleMania was at night, and you couldn't. We had to go like a Quick Trip, Canada's version of Quick Trip. All the restaurants were closed on a Sunday.
Did you see the article yesterday about Pfizer Forum and the changes they're going to make to it already?
No, you know, I didn't.
There was an article on the Journal Sentinel.
The news section?
Yeah, James Nelson wrote it.
Okay.
On the Journal Sentinel about changes that could happen. Actually, I think it was over the weekend, but still. They're going to make a few changes to Pfizer Forum. And I do like the arena. I think there's some parts of it that were maybe a little rushed.
Mm-hmm. A lot of open space. I feel like there's a lot of unused.
I feel like it's very congested.
See, I think, but there's certain parts I think are like that suite level. I think there's a lot of open space up there. I just feel like there's a lot of that going on in that place.
Oh, like if you walk around in the hallway?
Yeah, the corridors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like if you're in the suite level, there's plenty of room in the corridors, but if you're down in the atrium, there's not.
Yeah.
Here's some of the things that they want to replace at Pfizer Forum. And this, I think, is the biggest complaint, especially if you sat a little closer to the court. There's those cup holders, and I've talked about this, where they only hold like a palm's worth of your soda or
easy.
Your beer.
You can tip it over
easy.
So
you put something in there, and it just flops right over. Yeah. And there's 3,000 of those.
Yeah.
Peter Fagan quoted as saying, "They're just too shallow. They can barely hold a cup of coffee. I totally get it. I'd be ticked off, too."
So why did what was the thought process of putting those in to begin with?
I have no idea.
I mean, why would they say, okay, let's have cup holders that barely hold the cup. Okay, let's do that.
I have no idea. But they're going to change those. Also, the BMO Harris Club, which I've not been to, is that on the lower level?
That's the first floor.
Too crowded.
Okay, not been in there, but I don't see the first floor. Okay,
I've been on the club in the second level, and I think that's too much space.
Well, that's what I said.
You've got all this space.
I just thought, so too much space.
And you don't have enough people that have access to it. So it seems like in some of these areas, if you, like one of the big compliments I have about the Pfizer Forum is nowhere do you walk in there and you feel like you're the scum of the earth.
Yeah.
Like I felt in the Bradley Center. If I sat in the 400s at the Bradley Center, I felt like I was a loser.
Okay, but I mean, initially when they were the Bradley Center,
I felt like I don't deserve to be amongst all of you.
But when that first went up, no one had anything bad to say about the Bradley Center. I was like, wow, great. You know, you can sit anywhere in this place.
It was so slanted.
But yeah. But then after.
And that's my favorite Bradley Center memory, 414-799.
But after experiencing it for a few years, I think people realize, man, I just feel like I'm up in heaven here.
Everything was going on in the lower levels. Mm-hmm. When they would shoot out prizes, it would never get up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, same thing with this.
You know, to the top.
I mean, these guys, you know, nothing gets to the top anymore here.
But it's still, there's places to go. It's not like thrown together. Because at the Bradley Center, instead of concession stands, if they would be open, they just throw like a little shaved ice cream kiosk.
Yeah.
And then the Kohl's Kids Club was like a bango cutout.
They still have some of those.
That you can put your head through.
And Pfizer.
Be the deer. Old Bango was there,
by the way,
yesterday.
He was there for the Marcus Johnson ceremony.
Oh, it took so long to bring that up.
Let's keep him around. Let's keep him around a little bit, man.
No, he went right back into hiding afterwards.
Can't we keep both Bengals around?
Went right back into hiding.
I knew he was around somewhere.
Went right back in there.
Went back into the woods?
Now, I say that about the top levels that you feel good, but there's been some complaints is that people are getting afraid when they go up to the Panorama Club, that club way on the top that we praise.
Yeah.
People are getting afraid of heights.
And I can see that because when you're climbing up the stairs, Bart, on that, have you been up there?
Yeah.
You know, when you're climbing the stairs, man, you just got to look to the right a little bit and you see all the way down, like, geez, 50 stories down, do you see the atrium? It's like, man, It's like when I go, we go up there, the 7-year-old, he's like standing right next to me. He's standing right next to me because he's afraid that he's going to fall over the top. But still, if you're going to have a place way up on top, I mean, I think the Panorama Club is awesome. That's my favorite part about it.
Yeah, no, it's a good
spot. So what are they going to do?
Spot. For that, they are putting up more. The Bucks took a little of that vertical away by applying a slight glazing to the glass panels that line the walkways. They also added miles of drink rails along those panels to keep beers and cups rather than spilling over to the crowds below.
Oh, you're talking about where you actually see the game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they've added already?
It says they've added it already.
Okay.
Also, another big problem with the arena is the scuffed floors. Some of the concrete floors are showing wear and tear, and they already need refinishing. Can be a little slick. There was a guy I saw by the media room yesterday, mm-hmm. was going to the Marcus Johnson celebration.
Yeah.
He flat out fell like he walked over a banana.
Was he at Goolsby's before or what?
No, he was like a distinguished man in a nice suit.
Well, I've seen that before too.
Going to, you know.
Did he have a couple of mimosas in the morning?
I didn't detect that on him at all. But he was walking and he slipped. And it was like he found a banana, and the workers rushed over to him, and they said, "Are you okay?" And he goes, "No, I just fell on your floor."
Oh, man.
How did I fall? And so I thought that was an interesting thing to see at Fiserv Forum yesterday. So it's not wearing the way they want to, so they're trying to fix that. And then I'm not sure if the arena is going to be playoff ready. The NBA requires for at least the finals 400 media seats.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that nobody likes to talk about or listen to what our experience is like in the media and whatever.
Yeah, because there's like 10 media seats now.
There's not a lot of media seating. So where that's going to affect everybody else is that they're going to have to sit the media in places where people might be sitting now. And one of the things they started to do, and they've done this for Marquette games and they've done this for Bucks games, is they're trying to add seats at the top level, just like folding seats.
Well, I took a picture of it last time. I was there.
They're adding those, and then they're putting up black curtains.
Yeah.
And I do think that looks bad. I think that...
Well, it looks like they're trying to get as many people in that place
so
as possible.
So then just put the seats there in the first place. You decided you wanted this many seats. That's how many seats you have.
Well, okay.
You can sell standing room.
You're saying,
but now we're just flat out making new seats?
Making permanent seats there?
Either don't make them look like yours.
But you can't tell it, though, can you?
I don't think they look that good.
But I mean, on TV,
but
you
then
can.
You've got all those. Well, no, on TV, you can't. Or but then you've got all those black curtains up.
I mean, I don't notice it. I mean, if I'm sitting at one end, because I was pointing it to a guy last time, where were we sitting in the press box? It was across the way. And I said, yeah, they put stationary seating up there. And he goes, I can't even tell. You can't tell from far away. But I mean, if you're up close, you probably could.
It's like when you go. I don't know when the last time you went to church was.
19. Okay.
Okay, fine. But I'm what they call a C&E guy.
Yeah.
So I go on Christmas and Easter.
Okay.
All right? So when you go to church on Christmas and Easter, like if you go to church normally, you know, it's like half filled. Yeah. But if you go to church on Christmas and Easter, they have like overflow seating and they're sitting people outside.
Sure.
And then they're just bringing in folding chairs next to the pew. And then they try to add another row. And it's like, clearly they weren't prepared for this many people. And I think you got to be prepared for that many people.
Well, maybe they might just turn those into permanent seats and add just seats up there.
Well, they could.
But I mean, is there so many seats they can add with the fire code?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
There's got to be something there where they can only have a certain amount of seating or people in the building.
And
there's only so many like standing room only seats you can have in that place.
So there are some changes coming to Fiserv Forum. And we'll share that article, too, if you did not see it. It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins. If you need a change in your vehicle, Hyundai West Dallas, the place to go for a new and used vehicle. They've got those available for you. Hyundai is a good car. I've got the Santa Fe Sport. Had that for about a year. I love it. Really good car. It was great in the winter. It's fun to put the windows down in the summertime. A lot of good features, especially with the radio. And I really do like that. So, really good car, and Hyundai's got a lot of good assurances and warranties and a good vehicle. Then on top of that, the guys at Hyundai West Dallas go above and beyond, especially for you guys. You've already gotten in with them by listening to the words I say right now, because they listen to the station, they listen to the fan, you're listening to the fan at this current moment. So you've got the connection because they give big discounts to those of you that say you heard about them on The Fan. So make sure you do that, whether it's for a vehicle and you're talking about, well, how did you find out about us? Tell them The Fan. Tell them Bart. Tell them Gary. Tell them Sparky. Tell them Billy. And they'll help you get an even better deal on top of the great deals they're giving to people that just walk in there otherwise. Also on service. If you've gotten a car from them, go there for service. If you got a car anywhere else, go there for service. They've got a real good service department, going to treat you the right way, and they know what they're doing in there. And mention The Fan, because you'll get some discounts on that as well. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins. No Marquette anymore in this tournament. We talked a little about the Badgers. If you missed that with Ben Wergel, that'll be on demand momentarily. But we'll talk Marquette. Ben Steele joins us from the Journal Sentinel. Where they went wrong, if they're in trouble, and what's to come with that program, because maybe brighter days are ahead. Chuck and Winkler on The Fan.
The 2019 championship season begins on Thursday. Let's talk some Brewers baseball. Postgame meets the Big Show. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey Thursday after the game on The Fan.
It's not just March Madness.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. The music comes up randomly. This is the Badger music, I guess, right? Jump around?
I guess.
Although I still contend that BYU owns this music now after they beat the Badgers in football and then jumped around in the third quarter, and then the Badger season ended there. Badger season also ends over the weekend, coming in the hands of Oregon. And then Marquette, they don't go anywhere either because they lose to Murray State. Recapping what happened to Marquette and where they go now, Ben Steele from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Ben, good morning. How are you? How was Connecticut?
Hey, Ben.
Good. What's up, guys? Yeah, it was an abrupt trip to Connecticut. Was not there very long, but I guess that was kind of to be expected with the way Marquette was playing at the end of the season.
Yeah, but nobody saw them being on the short end of an ass-whipping like that, though.
Yeah, it's probably right. And at the wrong end of a historic NCAA tournament performance, too, by Ja Morant there with the triple-double.
How much do you look at the performance of Wojo down the stretch? Because this was a team that a couple of weeks ago, they were in position to win the Big East regular season. They were in position to do very well in the Big East tournament and then in position to hopefully get better than a 5 seed. And it seemed like the team maybe got rattled a little bit or didn't have the mental wherewithal to close out. How much of that ultimately falls on the head coach?
Yeah, I think he probably, Coach Wojciechowski would probably take full responsibility for what happened down the stretch. I look at it a couple ways. I think just the roster, Marquette's roster, was just a little. It was missing a couple. One was missing like a really good ball handler. You know, Marcus Howard runs a point guard, not a traditional point guard by any means. Not the best ball handler. Struggles with turnovers sometimes, and they just needed another guy that could handle the ball a little bit against pressure that the teams were throwing at them at the end of the season. And they also needed, you know, a couple dynamic athletes. You saw that kind of exposed against Murray State, where they were just getting torched on the defensive end. And that was a little hurt. Marquette was a little hurt by Greg Elliott getting hurt in training camp. He's a 6'3 guard. He's a good defensive guy, good athlete. And, yeah, the roster kind of left them a little short. I don't know if there was any quite dramatic adjustments that Coach Wojo could have made down the stretch with his roster. They were just, like you mentioned, that I think they were just a little rattled. They had that game late February at Villanova where they could have, you know, really put their fist down on the perennial Big East champs and kind of claim the conference regular season title right there, and they blew a lead down the stretch. And then they came out the next game at home against Creighton and looked like they were pressing too hard and had 22 turnovers in that game. They blew another late lead in that one. I think both of those two games just rattled their confidence. And, you know, like the mentality of a team can sometimes be so fragile. And after those two games, I think it just spiraled on them.
I mean, this is going to be harsh, but I thought the team showed against Murray State that they're weak. I mean, they're not physically strong. I thought that it was a very soft performance. And I don't like throwing that term around lightly, but, man, I just thought it just showed that, man, what a soft – they lack mental toughness. They lack toughness in general, and that's a tough criticism. But I think that fully explains what I saw last Thursday against Murray State.
Yeah. I don't know if I would go back quite that far, but, yeah, I can see that point.
Do you think that they are going to get any rebounding on this team? I mean, is there any? Because that's ultimately, you know, when they're allowing teams 5 and 6 shots.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they hurt him.
Yeah. That was offensive rebounds allowed to the other teams down the stretch, and you know, foul trouble down low. They weren't very smart. The big guys weren't very smart, and I think players like Joey Hauser, you know, just need to get a little stronger. You know, this was his freshman season, and I think he was exposed a little on the defensive end. He definitely needs to get a little stronger. Ed Morrow and Theo John, the Marquette centers, need to just play a little smarter, stay out of foul trouble. That also hurt him down the stretch.
Talking with Ben Steele, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, covering the Marquette Warriors, as we say. Frames on this show.
Oh, you don't want to go out down that debate.
Marquette fans and alumni, you get a lot of people on your side if you went down that debate. But go ahead, Bert.
So as far as Marquette's future, because I think both programs that we saw over the weekend with Wisconsin and Marquette, I think that you try to look at, okay, well, what's next? And the question about these guys, the respective coaches on the hot seat, is going to be thrown around a lot. I think comparatively, there seems to be more optimism that Marquette can still kind of rebound from this and learn from this season. What kind of shape are they in coming into next season already?
Yeah, I mean, Marquette only loses two scholarship players off of this team. Matt Helt, who's a center, who was a fringe rotation player. They would only need him when the big guys got into foul trouble. Played a lot his first couple years, but kind of got passed over this year in terms of talent, and then grad transfer Joseph Sartouni, who kind of played just a very, very tiny role in this season's team. So as long as Marcus Howard, you know, we could debate his pro prospects. That would take a while, but as long as he comes back, they got the whole talented roster coming back. So next year, Marquette's in good shape, but they also have to kind of start thinking about the future, because they'll lose 4 seniors off of next year's team, including Marcus Howard and Sam Hauser, their 2 best players. So they also have to, next year is very important on the court, but also off the court, they got to put together a good recruiting class to kind of replace those guys, because they'll also need to replace Sakar Annam and Ed Morrow, who will also be seniors next year. So that's four key players that they need to replace. So next season's just big all around for Marquette.
Yeah, oh, without a doubt, because they should be preseason top 15 next year. I'm thinking that with that talent, if Marcus Howard comes back, they'll be preseason top 15. Okay. They should. Okay.
I agree.
Okay, but if they don't, I mean, after next season, oh, geez, where the hell is Marquette basketball heading after next season? I mean, you mentioned it right there.
Yeah. So the key recruiting class will be big. They expect, you know, Joey Hauser to make strides over the next couple of years. Maybe he'll be the next guy to kind of take the scoring and the main guy mantle from his older brother and Marcus Howard. So yeah, a lot of interesting stuff the next year.
I think we are sort of assuming that Marcus Howard is going to dip his toe in the waters, kind of like what Ethan Happ did. You know, do the workout or whatever and maybe look at going pro, but then come back. Is there anything that you think could convince him to not come back and to go pro instead?
No, I think if he just wanted to, you know, just go all in and challenge himself, I think that would be the only thing. We talked a little bit about this with a bunch of people, and some people think that, you know, if he just comes back and plays against college competition next year, he'll just be a scorer and that's it. But if he goes pro, it'll be force him to kind of, he won't be able to score as easily against professional competition, so he'll have to force himself to kind of work on all those other aspects of his game offensively. But I think, ultimately, I think you're right that he'll go to the combine. You know, the NBA scouts will give him a fair assessment of where he is, which is probably a mid-second rounder draft pick at best. I think he'll ultimately come back to Marquette.
So if he wants to get better as a basketball player, he has to go to the NBA and not stay in college, which almost seems counterproductive.
Yeah. It sounds weird, but yeah. I mean, I don't think he would be playing in the NBA, but he'll probably be, in the G League.
Oh, yeah.
Just have to fight his way to, like, a 10-day contract or something like that.
Yeah, because he'd go to the NBA. If he went to the NBA, I mean, that's all he's going to do is work on his game. He's going to take 500 shots a day. He's going to get stronger. He's going to hopefully get stronger with the ball, too.
Well, then if I was him, I would go and just at least profit out of it financially.
I mean, it's one more year. It's one more year of making money.
Yeah. But
he's not going to make it Marquette.
Well, that'll be an interesting decision to follow. We'll be in touch with you should that happen either way. Ben, appreciate your help over the last few weeks, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Ben.
Thanks, Ben. Always fun talking with you guys.
Ben Steele joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. You can follow him on Twitter, Ben Steele, MJS. And again, find his work, jsonline.com.
If you had a chance to take Taco Fall, the 7'6 kid we saw yesterday for Central Florida, you're the Bucks. I mean, he was there. Your pick. Yeah. Would they have a first-round pick?
No. Bucks do.
They do. They have a second round.
Not have a second round pick.
Probably not for another 15
They'll
years.
They'll have the 30th pick in the NBA draft.
But if you had a chance.
If you get my drift.
If you had Taco Fall, okay, if he fell to the Bucks or whenever, I don't even know where he's projected, would you take him as a merely a project guy, 10-minute guy?
I mean, as a guy who celebrated the Thon Maker pick, I think I'd take Taco Fall.
I mean, he's a guy you put out there for 10 minutes, alters a few shots. Hopefully stays out of foul trouble.
I mean, is that too easy of a comparison? Is that too lazy of one to say the Taco Fall could be what Thon Maker in my head was going to be? At least Fall, like, takes contact.
Yeah. I mean, Fall would have a long way to go, too. I think Thon had a bigger upside.
Remember Thon's first summer league game? He had 10 fouls.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he got better in that area, I think. But I mean, I think Thon, I mean, given the two guys, Thon had better potential. I don't think he was a lottery pick, but I mean, if he was taking the second round and he flopped, but it's like, you look back and it's like, man, how was that guy a lottery pick? But Taco Fall, man, 7'6". And again, it's not a string bean 7'6". The guy's 270, 280. I just put him out there for a couple of minutes. You know, alter a few shots down the lane and, maybe pick up a couple of fouls and then you're done with them.
The last mock draft I saw had the Bucks taking Bol Bol.
Okay.
So out of Oregon, Manute Bol's kid.
He's hurt, isn't he?
Right. He's done for the season.
Yeah.
But I saw them taking him. Where would Taco fall? I've got the top 100 here. He's not even on it.
Not even on the... any projected?
This is from the Athletic a month ago.
Okay,
so I'd have to look.
Yeah,
excuse me.
You would think a 7'6 guy is going to get drafted. I mean, a 7'6 guy, 270.
I mean, Thon Maker got drafted 10 off of YouTube tape. So you tell me.
I would think. I mean, yes, I would think a team out there would look at that guy and
Fall
say,
"Was at least in the best game of the tournament."
7'6, we have nowhere to go but up with this guy. Literally.
I don't know. Again, I know nothing about college basketball. I heard a Taco Fall a week ago, so that's where I'm coming from.
Yeah, I mean, beginning of the season, I saw him play a couple of times against Houston, okay? But he's, I mean, you look at him. That first dunk, that was an athletic play. Got it, you know, boom, boom, dunk. Like, wow. I mean, he's not Akeem Olajuwon out there with the footwork, but geez, the guy's, he's got some potential.
It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. All I know is that in the locker room yesterday, when the Bucks were watching that game, Giannis at one point said, "I can't wait until he's in the NBA to dunk on him."
Sure.
The Bucks watching some of that Duke UNC game, or Duke UCF game, rather. I want to tell you a little more about that and their viewing experience. And also, if your bracket looks like Giannis's, so your bracket may still be doing all right, we'll tell you who Giannis has coming up as well. It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins, here on The Fan. Now it's
I pick Gonzaga. I pick Gonzaga because I watch the game. I don't watch college basketball, but I watch a game early in the season that they played against Duke and they beat Duke. They were grown-ass men, big bodies, playing physical, playing smart, so I like the team.
That's Giannis, the Greek freak. He pretty much filled out the bracket the same way a lot of us do, just kind of based on maybe one thing that we saw. Giannis says the first time he's ever filled out a bracket. A few of the guys, we were in the locker room yesterday after the Bucks game, and Duke UCF was on TV, and they started to get into the game once there was this call. Should it be reviewed? Should it be, was it a basket? Did it touch the rim or not? One of those shots late.
Yeah.
And so once the game, I mean, UCF had the lead and everybody was really into it, and Brooke Lopez was watching it, and Connaughton, and Tony Snell was in there, and Giannis. And Giannis got real into it. I mean, for not watching college basketball, he pulled up a chair and then he was screaming when Zion would make a play. He's running, he's saying, number one pick right there. And he's talking about Taco Fall. And it was cool to see those guys watch a college game against guys that will be in this league someday. But then when Duke won, it was very silent afterwards. And Brooke Lopez says, why does it feel like we lost the game? Because, you know, I think there's just that. And I think America felt that way.
Yeah.
Because there's always like that natural inclination that you want Duke to lose. And there was no way Duke should have won that game, especially those two shots at the rim at the end, how neither of them went in, especially the second one.
Well, by Dawkins, the coach's kid.
Unbelievable.
Grew up a Duke fan.
Unbelievable.
You know, because Johnny is one of Duke's all-time favorite, one of the all-time greats. His jersey might even be retired by Duke at Cameron Indoor.
Too, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Dawkins, what a hell of a player. And he missed the follow-up tip-in when no one boxed him out and rolled around the rim. But yeah, in my house too, everybody was sad. It's like, because you know you're seeing the handshake line after, and you're seeing Taco Ball, a tear coming out of his eye. And
Taco Bell?
Taco Fall. But I thought if that guy plays in the NBA, Taco Bell's got a spokesman, man.
The Bucks had the same assessment. As Brooke Lopez said, they should bring him back as the Yokiro Taco Bell dog.
Yeah.
And put Taco Fall's face on the dog. It was very convoluted.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
I didn't like the dog
Lopez
for a Taco Bell mascot.
I didn't like the Taco Bell dog mascot either because, like, I don't want to see what I'm eating. You know what I'm saying?
All right, guys, somebody explain this to me. What was the purpose of having this Phil, the broadcaster, on?
Hate that guy.
What was the purpose of this?
The worst.
I
hate
don't
that
get
guy.
I don't get who came up with that.
Oh, there's two tall guys that passed the ball to the other tall guy.
Yeah.
I wish nothing but the worst.
The biggest problem as a viewer with the NCAA tournament is that there's about two or three commercials that always run. And this year it's that Phil guy with AT&T, and then it's also the coach talking to all the mascots saying, all I do is win no matter what.
I keep thinking that's Jim Nantz.
All I want is Chuck. I want Spike Lee. I want Samuel L. Jackson for the entire broadcast.
Yeah.
Those guys are great.
I mean,
together.
Some of theirs. I mean, the emoji one was pretty good. It's like, should be the active. We'd break down the Super Bowl commercials. How about the NCAA tournament? Oh, Orange Vanilla Coke, too.
Yeah, who drinks that? Cereal killers.
I mean, that doesn't sound good.
Tomorrow on the show, we're going to do a taste test where we all drink the most popular thing going on right now.
So what's
going
to happen with this thing? Orange vanilla. So all these years Coke existed, they figure, okay, let's have orange vanilla. Let's make that combination.
Right.
So that, and then, you know, too many of the progressive commercials again with what's her name? Now she's the maid for you or whatever. God, what a dumb commercial.
I'm telling you right now, if there's a radio show that does a orange vanilla taste test.
Yeah.
You need to never listen to them again because that is, and I don't know if anyone's done this, I'm just assuming because this is how radio works.
Yeah,
you take the laziest approach. If there's a radio show that did that, they are lazy and they don't care about you and they're just trying to run up the clock and you should never listen to them again. Again, I don't know if anyone did that. I'm being honest. I just know that it's some stupid thing I would have done on my show in Fond du Lac when I was phoning it in at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just saying from experience, if anyone's doing an orange vanilla Coke taste test, they are lazy.
Orange vanilla. When you saw those commercials.
And now I kind of want to try it.
No.
And now maybe we should do it tomorrow.
I'll bring it in tomorrow.
Okay. But, then, when anybody's, but when you watch those commercials, nobody's saying like, oh, orange vanilla. I got to go out and try some of that.
Right.
And then you hear the announcers like fake their way through it.
Orange vanilla Coke. Oh,
like,
great.
Like Brett Nessler last
bring
night.
Bring me some.
Was like, try the delicious flavor of orange vanilla Coke. Mmm, that sounds delicious.
Are Brad Nessler and Jim Nantz like clones of each other?
Oh, no, they're way different.
They look similar. They both got that, you know, Johnny Sportscaster look to them.
Nessler, I have a hard time listening to because I think too much football.
SEC football?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to listen to.
Yeah.
BA is the best. BA has overtaken Nantz, in my opinion. Nantz is just too Nantz for me. Like, he loves himself a little bit too much, where BA is just, you could tell, like, a good dude and a great broadcaster. And Chris Weber's grown on me. I think he's really good.
I think so too. Weber and BA make a great team. And I thought Nantz was good on the Duke game yesterday. Nantz, I mean, he's going to give you a professional approach, but him and I think Raftery is ageless.
He's great. Yeah, I wish I could just hear Raf the entire time. I wish I could go out and get a beer with Raf. I've heard some stories that he likes to party a little bit.
Raf is like closes down the bar.
Yeah, he's like, man.
He's the last one to go.
He was telling this story. Remember that like 7 overtime game a while back? He was on the call for it. He's he's like, that's the only time I ever got home at 4 a.m. and didn't have to explain to my wife why.
No, I thought that I'm glad that Duke-UCF game was good because a lot of these games were kind of blowouts. We did talk about on Friday the New Mexico State Auburn game where the guy was down 2, drove to the basket, had a wide open layup, dished it out for a 3 instead. Do you remember how Auburn won their first game against New Mexico State?
And New Mexico State missed the 3.
He got fouled.
Yeah.
Then missed 2 of the 3. Yeah. I mean, it's been that game, and it's been, you know, a couple of these first halves where the ones get tested. But other than that, the tournament's been sort of boring, I will say, which means the games Thursday and Friday should be very good because you've got all your 1 seeds through, you've got all your 2 seeds through, and there's only one really double-digit team, and that's Oregon, the 12 seed that had to win the Pac-10. I mean, they're your Cinderella right now.
Well,
Oregon's your Cinderella.
And 3 of the 16 coaches have got Wisconsin connections. You got Buzz Williams, a coach at Marquette. And Buzz Williams looks like he's been sleeping on a park bench for the last 3 years. I mean, you see his look these days?
Don't forget Calvin Sampson.
With a Bucks, a short cup of coffee.
Former Bucks assistant.
Yeah.
I'm a big Calvin Sampson guy after this weekend. I'm not going to lie. I like that little rant that he went on.
Tony Bennett. And who's the other one I'm thinking of here? There's another one. I got a Wisconsin connection. Those two for sure.
TJ Ulzenberger?
No, he should have been in the tournament, but couldn't beat Western Illinois.
In the tournament. It'll come to me.
Bruce Pearl. Yeah, who you know is cheating at Auburn. I mean, when is he going to put Auburn on probation? That's what I want to know.
Well, that's the thing. So
nobody ever wins at Auburn, yet he's found a way to win.
They better enjoy this run because I feel like everything's getting wiped. Hey, you know what's crazy with all the blowouts? I was talking about this with my dad. So even with all the blowouts and everybody turning the channel, it was the second best viewership in 3 decades for the NCAA tournament. So did people really want Duke to lose? Because I feel like everybody's tuning in to see Zion.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the draw for me.
Yeah. I just think...
second highest rated in 29 years, up 8% from last year.
And there weren't many good games either. There weren't many games that are just compelling. I'm like the Tennessee game yesterday.
Yeah.
It was a 25-point game. And it got interesting at the end and went to overtime. But, I mean, how many of these are actually compelling games?
Duke and UCF, the second highest rated game in 29 years, college hoops.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Up like... Duke,
everybody's picked to win the NCAA tournament, and they're being challenged by Central Florida, and you got Taco Fall there, 7'6" guy. I mean, how can you not watch it?
I said that to Chuck in the back. I was like, I almost felt like I was watching WWE, like when a wrestler would come out and like challenge the Great Khali or the Big Show. Like that's what I felt when Zion went after him, and Taco just stood up with his arm like this.
Yeah.
But yeah, up 35% from last year's comparable window and second highest rated in 29 years. And that was the...
what was the first?
I don't have that.
Okay.
This is from CBS Sports and Turner Sports.
I'll tell you, if Duke plays UNC in the final, that'll be the highest rated college basketball game ever.
Think so?
Oh my God.
Oh, yeah.
They've never met in the tournament.
Yeah, but to have... like a Sunday afternoon, it's crappy outside, and to have... You know, Duke against being challenged by Central Florida, that's more of an intrigue than Duke, North Carolina.
Duke, North Carolina.
To see Central Florida almost take down Duke in the second round?
If Duke and UNC play in the national championship, Whoever loses that game, that school is going to shut down their basketball program. The heartbreak will be too much. Coach K has said, I never want that game to happen in the tournament because the pain will be way more unbearable than the joy of the winner.
But what's more intriguing for America, seeing those two teams meet in the national championship game or seeing Duke on the brink of elimination, Duke, who, you know, the number one seed of the tournament, with Zion Williamson, almost get taken down by a mid-major in the second round?
I think the answer is just Duke in general is the hot draw right now. Like, Duke could play St. Mary Nativity, could the seventh grade squad could roll through, and I think everybody's going to watch because everybody wants to see Zion. The guy had a telecast based to him yesterday.
Yeah, Zion cam.
The camera just followed him all around.
Yeah. It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins. We'll wrap things up. Bill Michaels coming up. They've got Steve Novak, 11:20. You've got free pie today at Perkins after 11 o'clock. You get a free slice of pie with your meal every Monday at Perkins all over the Milwaukee area. You get a meal, you get a free slice of pie. It's Pie Society Monday. I have been full on Mondays. I have turned down the pie, and guess what? They wouldn't let me. They made me take it home, and then guess what I did? I got home and ate it right away. So do not turn down pie ever. That's what my dad told me when I was a very young boy. Pie Society Monday. It's not that funny. I shouldn't... Pie Society Monday after 11 o'clock at Perkins every Monday.
Milwaukee.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. Ryan Horvat producing this operation. What did we miss today, Horvy?
Two big retirements. I know we're not allowed to talk wrestling, but Nikki Bella announces her retirement from the WWE.
What?
Why is that?
I think she had some, like, neck issues. Her and Cena broke up. She's, like, really hot now, so...
Well, she always was, wasn't she?
Yeah, but she...
Mountain full of drama, though.
Yeah, she did a few things that made her even better, though. Like,
mountains on her chest.
Mountains.
Mountain of drama.
And then Rob Gronkowski also retires from the NFL. Kind of a surprise, although, you know, the rumors were out there. I don't think even the Patriots expected it. They were saying today that his agent said that if Tom Brady calls him, let's say they're like, you know, 4-5 next year, that Gronk would come back.
Though, yeah, I'm not going to be done with him completely. I mean, he could come back. I mean, he's only played 8 years.
Yeah, but he looks like he's done.
Yeah, how's like that? He could barely move.
I mean, he had a great – he looks – yeah. When I first saw Paul Gasol in a Bucks uniform, I thought, oh, that guy runs like Rob Gronkowski.
Well, if he needs a payday.
I mean, he's still overbearing, and he had that great catch at the end of the Super Bowl, and he's still a very impactful talent. It just seems like moving is hard for him.
Yeah, but if he has a chance to come back play a half a season next year.
I don't think he does it.
Yeah. Some of these guys, like, retire right before training camp because they don't want to go through training camp.
I feel
hate it.
Yeah, if Gronk's a guy that doesn't need football. I said this last night. I said Gronk's going to make more money out of football than he will in football.
He might be a porn star.
He might be a porn star, a WWE star.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy could literally like murder somebody on the streets and everybody be like, oh, that's just Gronk being Gronk, you know?
Yeah, Aaron Hernandez.
How did it work out for him?
Rest in peace, little. Well, do we say rest in peace? Like, I don't even think I could pour any liquor out for the homie because he's a murderer.
What do you got next?
Alabama and men's basketball coach Avery Johnson mutually part ways. So Avery Johnson out as Alabama's head coach.
Yeah, boy, what a disappointment. He was supposed to get some enthusiasm in the Alabama's program. You know, we saw him play in the NBA. I never liked him as a player.
Didn't he sing the national anthem one time or something?
I don't know.
He was in the movie Eddie. He had a short little cameo, and he was like going at it with Whoopi Goldberg, and she called him like a midget roach.
I don't know if you can say that, Ryan.
How?
That's what she called him in the movie. Oh. I mean, take this up with Whoopi Goldberg, not me, not I. I would have called him a small person.
I got a question. We were in the car on Saturday, and Michael Jackson came on.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were debating if we could keep it on or not.
Why?
I can't say roach, but we could go down this route.
Why? Why can't you keep it on? We're going to forget about Michael Jackson?
I don't know what the rule is.
I think there is no rule. Michael Jackson, still, as a singer, he was great.
I was talking about this, not with Michael Jackson, but like my favorite party song of all time is Thoya Thoya or whatever the hell it's called, like R. Kelly, you know, Thoya Thoya Thoya. And so now when I hear that, like, could I still enjoy it and like
I don't know.
Turn up or?
Yeah, I just think as a musician, just think of him as a singer.
Could I still enjoy Chris Benoit wrestling matches? Like, because those pop up on your WWE network and you're like, no, get this off. But like,
I thought they took him off. Vince took him off of
it. No, and they're like, they're the best matches, unfortunately. It's like I'm watching, like, redoing the WrestleManias before WrestleMania.
Will you be able to enjoy old Chuck and Winkler's when you find out all the things that I've done?
God, don't look into my background.
Lonzo Ball cuts ties with Big Baller.
Don't look at what I did this past weekend.
It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins. We're back tomorrow at 6.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.